Hallelujah. Father, we thank you and we praise you, Father, for all that you've done for us. And Father, we thank you for giving us the very best gift, your Son, Jesus Christ, your one and only Son. And Father, you gave him to us so that we would have life and life more abundantly. Life and life more abundantly. Not a less than life, but an abundant life, overflowing in every area of our life. Father, we're grateful to spend this time of worship with you. And Father, we just give this evening to you. And we give you free rein, Holy Spirit, to do whatever you want to do. Father, I pray that every heart would be open in this place. Open for what you have specifically for each individual. Thank you, Father, that these hearts are open. Lord, we thank you for your word. And Father, we thank you that your word comes forth just as you would have it said. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'm excited to be here tonight. I'm even more excited about what God has for you. Because really this is about you. Amen. So I've had something stirring in my heart for a few years. And I believe it's the beginning of many conferences to come. I really do. Living Free conferences in the future. So I just prayed this, but I want you to turn in your Bible to John 10:10. John 10:10. And John 10:10 says, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. It doesn't say I've come to give you some life or a little bit of life. It doesn't say that only the Westerners get to have a full life, right? It says you. I've come to give you life. And life more abundantly. I know one day when we were advertising this conference, I think it was Sambo got up and said, God doesn't want us to survive. He wants us to thrive. And that's what he wants for us. He wants us to thrive in every area of our life. Life more abundantly. And when we hear the word abundance, what's the first word that comes to your mind? Plenty? More than enough? I think a lot of people's brains go to finance and kwacha. Right? And that's really not what I'm talking about tonight. Now, it includes that. It definitely includes it. But I'm talking about life abundantly in every single area of your life. If you're single, there's still great joy.
Amen.
If you're married, there's happiness and connection with your spouse. Right?
Amen.
If you're looking for a job, you be thankful for what you do have. And you thank God that there's a job to come. We're overflowing in every single area of our life. That's what God has for us. And we can live that way. He wants abundance, more than enough, overflowing out of us. We know that an abundant life is possible because it says so in the Word. And so if you're not living an abundant life, I'm just going to tell you, it's not his problem. Okay? There's something not right with us that we need to make an adjustment about. And I know at times we live in it, and at times we're like, woo, everything's going good. But I think more times than not, many of us aren't living in the abundant life that he has for us. If we admit it, and I can be the first one to put up two hands, life is tough sometimes. Is that right? There's trials, there's issues, there's so many things that we're facing. And we think, God, really, when is this all going to end? Anybody ever felt like that? All right. So I face those trials too. Pastor Walker faces those trials too. For some reason, people think that everything's always okay with us. I know a few years ago, I was at home and I had pneumonia and I was in bed. And not one person from church until Cassandre stopped by one day came to see Pastor Haley. Serious. And I was talking to the guy on staff that takes care of that. And I said, what happened? He said, no, Pastor Haley, you and Walker, you got what you need. You're sorted. I was like, huh, we've got the same type of life that you have. All right. I put my pants on one leg at a time, just like you. Right? I've got issues too. All right? I've got trials too. But God wants us to live an abundant life, overflowing. All right? And instead of looking to God and trusting Him in our trials, many times we pretend. And people walk up to us and they say, how are you? And what's the first thing you say? Say, fine. How are you? And how are your children? We pretend and we act like we're somewhere that we're not. And deep inside, there's pain and there's hurt and there's frustration. And you just look your friend in the face and you said, oh, everything's cool. When in fact, it's not cool. Anybody been there? A couple of you? All right. And maybe we act this way. Maybe it's pressure from people. Maybe it's somebody coming up to you saying, you got to just be strong anyway. Maybe they say to you, you're the oldest child. You have to stay strong. You got to take care of everybody. Right? I was telling someone yesterday, I sure am glad that my sister, being the oldest child, I'm so glad that that's not her responsibility, because she would do a really poor job of that. A couple of years ago, we had a 50th wedding anniversary for my parents, and we were all met in Dallas, Texas, and guess who planned it? Haley, who lives in Africa. And my three siblings over there, they showed up. It's kind of weird, right? All right? So there's reasons that we don't tell them the truth, and we don't share what's really going on. We push everything down, and then we hide. We hide, and they don't see the truth. And we hide behind this mask. I'm just going to get this on right. We put on a mask, and we walk around, and they see Haley as something that I'm not. Because we're all living behind this mask. We don't want them to see the real us, because we're afraid if they see the real me, they're not going to like the real me. Now, is that speaking to you? We don't like ourselves. We're afraid of what they'll think. We're afraid of them to know the deepest, darkest secrets, the things that have happened to us, or things that we've done, that we've put on other people. And then we wear this mask. And we're all running around wearing these masks. And here's the thing. We don't know who any of us are. We don't even know. And so the title of my message tonight, because I'm assuming we're Christians in the room, the title of my message is The Christian Masquerade. The Christian Masquerade. We're ashamed. We're ashamed of our secrets. We're ashamed of our past. We're fearful of what others will think. And we're ashamed, so we put on the mask and we hide. If we look at Genesis 3, I'm going to take this off for just a second. Okay. If we look at Genesis 3, 1 through 6, you'll turn there. Genesis 3, 1 through 6. It says, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from the tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. You will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree of the fruit was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and she ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. So Adam and Eve were told that if they abandoned God's ways, and let me just add to it, abandon God's ways and listen to the serpent, okay? I don't think we usually say that, but abandon his ways and listen to the serpent, that life would be more exciting. So they quickly ditched God's ways for the promises from Satan for the high life. Now, how many people have come to you and told you to do something differently than the Word of God And where'd that take you? If you really look back and ascertain it, how'd that work out for you? Prior to eating the fruit, they experienced an abundant, lavish life. Life was really good before that apple was eaten. I think my first question when I get to heaven is I'm going to go sit down with Adam and Eve and say, you really made a mess of the world for years to come. Seriously. And we can sit here today and we can point our finger at them. All right. But the truth is it's already happened. All right. So we got to deal with it. We need to grow up, deal with our stuff. All right. And move on. Adam and Eve decided to pretend. And they came up with a plan. And do you guys know what their plan was? They put on a mask. Their mask was called fig leaves. All right. They put on a mask. They put on the fig leaves. And they pretended that everything was great. And then God came along and he asked them a question. He asked them, why are you wearing those fig leaves? Why have you covered yourself? Why are you hiding behind that mask? And exactly what we said in the opening, their reason was because I'm afraid. I'm afraid. I'm afraid, God, of what you'll think. Well, don't you think God already knew? I'm afraid of what people will think. And those fig leaves that they put on, those were man-made. Those were not God-made. They made those. And so when we get involved and when we step in front of God and his plan for our life and man gets in the way, yucky things happen. Bad things happen. Again, when we don't choose to do his ways, you know, we marry a non-Christian man thinking everything's going to work out okay. There's a little bit of hell that ends up following. You sleep with that guy, not married yet, get pregnant. There's a little bit of frustration that happens, maybe a lot. Okay? Bad decisions are made. All right? And unfortunately, again, with the fig leaves, we've been wearing masks ever since Adam and Eve did that. All right? We pick out our mask. We go into a store and we pick out our mask and we decide what kind of mask we're going to wear. What is it that I want people to think about me? How do I want to be perceived? And we pick that out. And others think that we're a wonderful person and we're full of life and we're full of joy and everything's okay. But really we're hiding behind that mask. And we live with the pressure that we have to have it all together. So let me just tell you a little bit about my story. All right? Just some of my life. When I was 7 years old, I grew up in a Methodist church. And I don't know how this happened, but when I was 7 years old, I went over to the Baptist church one night. And I was watching a film about Africa. And I gave my heart to Jesus that night. And I remember a few years later, I was 10 years old. And I grew up in a small town. It was 986 people when I grew up there. And my family of six moved and they went down to, went down by six. So I remember being 10 years old and riding. We rode our bikes everywhere. And we stopped on a street corner. I think we had one robot in our town. And we stopped on a street corner. And I remember us just sitting there on our bikes and everybody was chatting. And I just sat there and I think I kind of left them. You know, I kind of wasn't there. And I got caught up just daydreaming a bit. And I remember looking at them and just kind of looking around. And I thought, all of these kids, I lived in Texas, and all of these kids have grown up in Texas. Their parents worked in Texas. They all grew up in this little city of Johnson City, Texas. And something hit me, and I felt like God said to me, you're not going to stay in this little town, Haley. There's greatness inside of you. And it's not me, it's him. There's greatness inside of you. And the world needs what's inside of you. I'm 10 years old, but it was so clear. And I looked at my friends and I thought, I don't know if any of them will ever even leave this little town. My best friend, her name was Charlotte Haley. Funny, her surname was Haley. And she was a twin. We eventually moved to another state. And Charlotte came to visit me when I was a senior in high school, my last year of high school. It was the first time she ever left the state of Texas. Yeah. And now she's back in Texas again. Now, all of them are. They're all still in Texas. But God said to me, there's greatness. And I knew that I wanted to do something big for God. I didn't want to stay small-minded, doing little things, because He lives inside of me. And anywhere that God lives, big things are going to happen. Okay? And if they're not happening, it's because you've made Him a little God instead of a big God. He's a very big God. My home that I grew up in had a lot of dysfunctions. Okay? Yeah, I had dysfunctions in my home too. Some ugly, horrible things that happened in our home. But a really great thing that happened in my home is we were always allowed, all of us kids, we were always allowed to have a voice. Our parents listened to us. Our opinions differed from theirs. We got to pick out what we, you know, Haley, what do you think we should eat for dinner tonight? Okay? So they gave us a voice. And so that was a wonderful thing that did happen. And I had a father. My dad's still alive. If somebody had to pick a man to be the epitome of God, I would pick my dad. He was a wonderful father. Loved us unconditionally. Gave us truth, gave us grace. And the thing that still rings true with me today, and he still says this on the phone when I speak to him, he said, Haley, when you grow up, you can be anything you want to be. You can go anywhere you want to go. You can be the first female president of the U.S. I don't think that's going to happen. But he did. He encouraged us. And he said that specifically to me, and it gave me confidence that, yeah, I can go do anything. Let's go change the world. My mom tells me this, and I don't remember it, but she told me this. She said, Haley, when you were 7, and she said, I wrote it on a piece of paper. She thinks she's got it in a scrapbook somewhere. She said, when you were 7, you wrote on a little piece of paper, when I grow up, I'm going to be a missionary in Africa and change the nation that I live in. And I don't remember that, but she said it. There were no boundaries on who I could become. The world was at my reach. All right? I had great confidence in who I was, and I didn't need to hide behind a mask. I liked me. I liked who I had become. Went off to university at the age of 18 and had a great vision to, you know, that I had in my heart. And the vision statement of my university, Laura sitting down here who's going to speak to you tomorrow, who flew in here to be with you, went to the same university as me. And God said to Oral Roberts, the vision statement of the university, raise up your students to hear my voice, to go where my voice is heard small, my light is dim. To the, what is it? I got to read it from here. Sorry. To the uttermost parts of the earth, their work will exceed yours. In other words, you graduate from ORU, their work will exceed yours, Oral, because there's people out there that need Jesus. And in Him, I am well pleased. That's a big vision. And I'm a product of that vision. And it's why I live here today. It's why I live here today. I played on the university tennis team. I also did another sport called intramural football, but it's American football. And it's flag. You put these flags on you, and then we go pull them off of the other girls. And Walker was my coach. That's how we met. So we were in a huddle. We get in a circle in a huddle. So, you know, eventually he told me this. He said he looked across the huddle and he said, you had beautiful blue eyes. And so I've got a new ring now, but my first ring, it had two blue sapphires on either side. Yeah, he's so sweet. All right. So I'll just tell you this too. It's not in my notes because we were talking about this today. We're talking about, you know, hiding and being who we're not. I started liking this guy named Walker. And in high school, I had a best friend named Rodney. And Rodney and I did we played tennis together. We led worship at our youth group together. We were just really, really tight. And I think, you know, there were times that I wondered, does Rodney like me? And then there was times, does Haley like me? And he eventually moved to Tulsa where I was going to university as well. And the summer before I met Walker, Rodney had called me up and said, man, we need to reconnect. And we had booked ourselves to go together and I know this is old fashioned for you young people, to a Petra concert and to a Michael W. Smith concert. We booked it. And so I start liking this guy named Walker, and Rodney and I had already booked to go to the Michael W. Smith concert, and Walker asked me to go. Okay? So most of you, Most of you would have canceled your date with Rodney. And that is not right. It's called a commitment. I'm serious. And I'm not going to be someone that I'm not. And I told this Walker guy, I said, you know what? And I was conjuring up the right words because I wanted him to know how much I really liked him. And I said, you know what, Walker? Everything within me, I want to go with you so bad. I really want to go with you. Unfortunately, I'm going with my old high school friend. We booked it a couple months ago. Well, Walker didn't talk to me for the next 3 months. He didn't. Because he considered that a no. And so this good friend of ours that we called him Ducky. We were eating lunch one day, and Walker and I happened to be at the table, the same table. And Ducky sits here at the front of the table, and he looks at the two of us. He goes, what is your problem? What is your problem? You two should be together. And Walker looks at me, and I look at him, and I said, he's right, you know. Okay. And so we started dating. The rest is history. All right. But here's really what I wanted to tell you about Walker, because I want you to understand me. So I met him wearing shorts and a cut-off T-shirt, hair up in a ponytail, no makeup on, and that's who I am. And from the day I started liking him, I didn't change who I am for him to fall in love with me. I didn't hide. I didn't put on a mask. And you girls in here that aren't married, don't do that. Because you will come out. All right? And he married knowing every bit of me and who I am. Don't doll yourself up. And I didn't. Okay, at my university, I had to wear dresses. Y'all know I don't. So at that university, I had to. But guess what I'd wore? Blue jeans, skirts, tennis shoes, and a T-shirt. Laura, did you do that? Yeah, I thought so. Laura and I played a lot of sports together there, too. So, yeah. But I wanted him to know the real me. And I got to know the real him. All right? And that's what we fell in love with, was our real selves. So after we graduated from Oral Roberts, and we still weren't married yet, then we went to Bible school together. I'm 1 year ahead of him, and so I waited, and then we went to Bible school together, graduated from Bible school, and knew we were going to be moving to Africa. And so we moved to South Africa to join Ed and Lori Elliott to touch the nation of South Africa. And soon after we arrived in South Africa, being a missionary, there were many people around who kept trying to put a missionary mask on me. And you ask, what's a missionary mask? Let me tell you what a missionary mask is to many people. It's a poor, miserable, lowly person that looks like they've been baptized in lemon juice. They've got the woe is me mentality. Walking around like this and always complaining. They call back home and they give all the sob stories of the starving people in Africa. Well, guess who's not going to be a missionary like that? What does John 10:10 say? I've come to give you life and life more abundantly, except for missionaries. No, it doesn't say that. Life and life more abundantly. So I didn't take that mask from them. I like me. And then after 10 years of living in South Africa, God called us to Zambia. And the first 38 years of my life, I was very comfortable in my own skin. You've heard it. I'm tall. I'm cool with that. I don't need to walk around like this. A lot of tall girls, they walk around like this. First time I met Walker's mom, she's up to here on me. And she looks at me, she goes, man, you stand really tall. She was down here actually then. You stand tall. I said, yeah, I like being tall. I only got tall in ninth grade. I was the shortest person in my class at 15 years old. By the end of the year, I was the tallest. I like being tall. I like being athletic. I like who I am. Moved to Zambia, 38 years old. After arriving in Zambia, people tried to give me a pastor's wife mask. Now, you guys can tell me what that is because many of you know who you want pastor's wives to be. Right? And I resisted and I said, not me. I'm not doing that. You want me to run a women's ministry? I have no desire for women whatsoever at all. It is a miracle I'm standing up here today. I like men more than women. I like getting in it with men more than I do women. But God said to do this, so I'm here, okay? And we'll do another one next year. We will. We are going to do another one next year. But they want women to run the women's ministry. They want women to... Everything that can't get done in the church, they want the wife to do it. All right? And that's not who I am. And so I kept resisting this mask and resisting this mask. And I'm like, no. I'm not going to become who you want me to be. But very soon, after resisting and resisting, there were some people, and I think this is the best way to say it, they forced a mask on me. They tried to get me kicked out of the country. They said awful things about me, lies, and I started to believe them. I was asked to remove myself from the daily workings of the church. And for 3 years, it was right before we moved into this building, and then we moved in. And for 3 years, I'd walk through that door right as service began, sit in that chair, and as soon as it was over, I'd get out of here. I was broken. I was in pain. I was rejected. And it was a very lonely place to be. And I took a portion of that mask and I put it on. And I went and hid because of how I was feeling. I felt like my heart had just been pulled out of me. Just wrenched out of me. So for protection and safety, I took a portion of that mask and I hid myself. And I want to say this to you. The people that, I call it a little coup. I don't know if that's the right word. What do you think? Is that the right word? It's okay to say that? Thanks, Montella. I have no right to stand in front of you and say, they did that to me. They were evil. They were mean. They were. But I have no right to stand in front of you acting like a victim. I chose to put on the mask. I chose to. Some of you have chosen to. You're blaming it on other things, but you've chosen to. All right? Nobody put it on me. I chose to put it on. I alone said yes to that mask. And we have to make a choice. And we need to say no. I want to talk to you what happens when you wear a mask. All right? Turn to 1 John 1:8. 1 John 1:8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we say, I have no sin, then you deceive yourself. You're not telling yourself the truth. If you're not honest with yourself, then you get stuck. And the best way I can say it to you is you put a lid on your life. When you're not honest with yourself, and when you're not honest with others around you, you put a lid on your life. And you become paralyzed and you can't move forward. Some of you right now, you're wondering why you've been stuck where you've been for year after year after year. You know, maybe you've been trying really hard to get married. And you've been settling for what you shouldn't be settling for. It's a pattern that you've been in. Well, you're not being honest with yourself. You've put a lid on your life. You got to recognize what those things are. Once you choose to wear the mask, you're stuck with the image that you chose. You're stuck with it. And you can't ever change it without someone noticing. Second thing that a mask does is it affects our relationship with others. It affects our relationship with others. Relationship is life. And I think in the last probably 3 years, I understand this concept more than I ever have before. Because during that 3 years when I was isolating myself, that's the best way to say it. During those 3 years that I was isolating myself, I'm sitting at home. I kept myself busy. I went and coached volleyball for a while. But when you don't have relationship in your life, you die on the inside. Relationship is meant to give us life. And when I'm talking about relationship, I'm not talking about relationship with your mask on. So I'm wearing a mask and you're wearing a mask. That's not relationship. It's such surfacey. It's not deep stuff, the deep stuff that's going on within you. So we mess up our relationships. When we hide from one another, relationship deteriorates. And it keeps you from a real friendship. You can't have a real marriage if you're wearing a mask. And in the past couple years, as I'm talking to more and more married people, I actually, when I leave their presence, I actually just sit down and weep and cry for them. Because I don't know of too many healthy marriages in our church. I mean that. It's like the husband and wife don't even know each other. They don't talk about things. They're not honest with how they feel about things. And so to not, you're married and you don't have a relationship with your spouse, oh, that's a sad place to be. It's a very sad place to be. It keeps us from the relationship with our children and the relationship that they want. When Pastor Walker and I were doing that parenting series, so many of your children came and talked to us. And they would go home from church with you and you still didn't talk to them after they heard the same sermon. And they're broken inside because the only time mom and dad talk to them is when they do something wrong and they rant, rave, yell, and scream at them. Your children are hurting. And it's probably because you're wearing a mask just in all of your life. We can't experience community the way that God designed it. So you sign up to, you know, whatever, come help in the church and then you don't show up. Well, that's because you're wearing your mask. There's not deep commitment because you're not even real. And then the third thing that it affects is it affects our relationship with God. And I want to qualify this. It's not God's relationship to me. He doesn't change. He is who He is and He loves me. It's my relationship with Him is what's changed. It's me to Him that changes when I'm wearing that mask. Probably the first year that I was out of the church, I've never been so distant from Him in my life. I was fearful. I was scared. It was for me, you guys, and I know this isn't necessarily true for you. When that incident happened, it's the first time I was ever rejected in my life. I didn't know what rejection felt like. I taught on it a lot, but I didn't know what it felt like. And it's painful. It's so painful. So it affects our relationship with God. We're afraid God will discover who we are. You do know He already knows, right? But we're afraid. And then, because we're afraid of Him, we go to dangerous places to try to get the help we need. And we go to witch doctors. And even after you've been sitting in church for 10 years, and you still go out there and do some stupid stuff, you need to stop doing that. Microwave medicine is never a good thing. Quick fixes don't work. Everybody wants the now. Life is a process. It's a process. The mask you're wearing is keeping you from experiencing God's love and best for you as well. So those 3 years that I, in a sense, sat at home, they were hell. It's the best way I can describe it. It was hell. I was lifeless. I hated who I'd become. And during that time, I hope I can get through this. During that time, I hurt a very good friend of mine. I hurt her. I'm sure you've heard this before, but hurt people hurt people. But I hurt my friend. But this was the coolest part of it. Was through this conflict that we had, she was truthful with me. She was truthful with me. And the truth that she shared with me about myself, about my heart. It jolted me and it brought me back into reality of who God made me and who He created me to be. I hate that I hurt my friend. But she had the honesty and the love. That's the best word. She had the love to tell me the truth. You know that's what correction is? Correction is good. It's good. And I do love you so much. I was reminded of who I was. I'm His creation. You're His creation. I'm His daughter. You're His daughter. He sees us as valuable and precious. No matter what you've done. No matter what's been done to you. Through His eyes, you're His daughter. And you're valuable. And everything that God creates is perfect. He doesn't make mistakes. God doesn't make mistakes. And He showed me through that whole thing. He showed me how the lies that have been told about me. It's actually funny. Sometimes when I think about it now, it's like, you're saying that about everything you're saying. I do such extreme opposite, but okay. But I had started to believe those lies. And they had gotten deep within me. And they penetrated my heart. And I started seeing myself differently. And your hiding place, it might be different than mine. Whether you've sinned or whether you were sinned against. Every one of us have stuff. Every one of us. And don't look at people that, you know, don't look at people out there and, oh yeah, they got it all together. No, they don't. They just don't. Don't believe that. That's a lie too. And so, maybe you were sinned against, maybe you sinned. Some sins that we do, sex outside of marriage. Some of you have had abortions and you've never told a soul. And you still cry yourself to sleep at night. And you talk to that kid that you never knew. Some of you, it's addictions. Whether it's drinking or pornography or I don't know. But there's addictions. Masturbation. That's not godly. And so you're hiding, but you keep on doing it. Alcoholism, lying, cheating, stealing, gossiping. And then there's sin that's committed against us. You were abused growing up. And maybe you did tell someone. Maybe you did tell your mom and dad, and they said, keep your mouth shut. We don't want to shame our family. Heard that one? Maybe you were wronged, raped, painful words from parents, or no words, parents didn't talk to you at all. Maybe you're a sugar mama that takes care of your husband all the time. That doesn't feel too good, does it? Yeah, you're married, but you're still a sugar mama. Because you're married to a child that's irresponsible. Is that okay? And they want you to be their constant ATM machine. It happens. Whether you sinned or whether you were sinned against, there's scars. There's scars. And it affects us. The fall has hurt us. That's where it started again. And it brings great pain. But why we cover up, the reason we cover up one word is shame. Shame. The most intensely painful feeling that we are unworthy of love and belonging. We care about what others think. And so shame stops us from exposing the awful pain that's written on the inside of us. It's shame. Maybe you tried taking off the mask and it didn't go so well. Okay? I was vilified for not putting on the mask by others. And you know, the people who vilify you, the reason they do that is because of the mask that they're wearing. And that just means that you've hooked up with the wrong person. Okay? There are others that don't have masks on, and you need to find them in your life. Bound people despise free people. Bound people despise free people. Because they can't be wrong. God desires us to be free from the isolation of our souls. Turn to Luke 4, 18 through 19. Luke 4, 18 to 19. And it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are downtrodden, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." And if you're hiding behind a mask, you are in captivity. You're in captivity because you're not free to be me. You're not free to be you. And again, you're stuck. There are dark places inside of each of us that we must gradually bring into the light. We need to expose those things. There's a great, I don't know what Brene Brown, she's a writer for one, but she says this. She says, "Shame and vulnerability cannot live in the same petri dish." In other words, if there's shame and you will be vulnerable, that shame will die. It'll die. No matter what you did, it can have a death if you'll go talk to somebody about it. Okay, so I don't know how many of you cheated, but you got a white envelope. Did anyone in here cheat and look? Ah. All right. Here's what I want us to do. You guys can open this up. Zandile, did you cheat? Because I know you like presents. Okay. It's not a present, though. Okay, so here's what I want you guys to do. So you got a mask? I want you to put it on. I'm telling you to put it on, right? And what if you just go with me for a minute, okay? I want to show you a video. And just keep it on while you're watching the video. But did you identify with any of those characters? And if you didn't, just keep your mask on for now. And if you didn't, who would you add as a person that could represent you? And what it is that you're hiding behind, and what pain is going on the inside of you? Who would that person be? And I'm not sure how many of you actually paid attention to the words on the song, Sambo. I don't know if you can come help. I don't know how many of you actually paid attention to those words on the song, but I've asked Sambo to come and just say them to you. They're powerful, powerful words. Sambo.
Is there anyone that falls? Am I the only one in church today feeling so small? Because when I take a look around, everybody seems so strong. I know they'll soon discover that I don't belong. Are we happy plastic people under shiny plastic steeples, with walls around our weaknesses and smiles to hide our pain? But if the invitation's open to every heart that has been broken, maybe then we close the curtain on our stained glass masquerade. Would your arms be open, or would you walk away? Would the love of Jesus be enough to make you stay? But would it set me free if I dared to let you see the truth behind the person that you imagine me to be?
It says, but would it set me free? Would it set me free if I dared to let you see who I really am? That's really what it's saying. And the answer is yes. It's yes. It would set you free if people could see who you really are. If you could expose who you really are to them. James 5:16 says this. It says, confess your faults one to another that you may be healed. And in the message, just keep the lights down, please. Thanks. And in the message, it says, make this your common practice. Make this your common practice. What does common mean? Common means that we're doing it all the time. It's familiar to you all the time. Can you guys put the lights back down? I don't know who's got them, but put them back down. Confess your faults. Make this your common practice. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you can live together whole and healed. And you guys, what I find that most people do is you do confess your sin or you do confess your pain, and it's just with you and God. It's you and God. And that's a good thing to do, but the Bible's very clear about to one another. To one another. That you've got to expose those painful areas of your heart to others. And it doesn't mean you stand up and grab a microphone and tell the world all the bad things you've done. Okay? But it's finding people that you can talk to and be honest with and get it out. And so what I want to do tonight, I'm not going to ask you to stand up and share your stuff. Okay? Don't worry. But what I do want, Chibwe, is they're going to bring in some rubbish bins for us. Don't you think we should put our masks in the rubbish? It's a good place for them. Okay, so they're going to go get those. And so it's really just a sign of, I think it's time I take off my mask. I think it's time that I go find someone that I can sit with and I can pour out my heart. And I can confess that stuff to someone else. And be free to be who I am. And I know for me, when this happened a few years back, and I was, you know, obviously Walker knew stuff too, right? And that's another thing. If you're married, your husband shouldn't be this person. It's someone that you can just share your soul with, do life together with them. And there's freedom in being able to share what's going on within you. I think Walker and I do more crying than we've ever done before, and we're okay with that. It's okay. It's okay to cry. It's okay to hurt. What's not good is stuffing it all on the inside all the time. Okay, so we've got rubbish bins coming in. And what I want to do is I think the back half of this section, you guys can go backwards, and the front half, and you guys, make your way to the middle, and then you guys can just put them in here. But Mafia, if you guys can come up. And they're going to sing a song while you guys do that as well. And then we'll close the service with a couple more things. Okay, so let's just give them a chance to get up here and then we'll... Okay, so again, you guys, it's just an outward demonstration about what God's doing within you, okay? You are a child of God. And again, He doesn't make mistakes. Doesn't make mistakes. And there's nothing too hard for Him to help you. And He usually does it through other people. Okay? You guys can be seated. When my friend confronted me, it was an opportunity where I could choose to either keep wearing my mask or take it off. And you guys, you've got that same choice. And I know, you know, tonight it was just more of a little demonstration thing, but it's your choice. But I'm going to tell you this. It feels so freeing to be me again. Because I love who God made in me. I don't need to hide. And you don't need to hide. Be happy to be you. There's some YouTube video and this little boy goes, he says this. He goes, I'm happy of myself. Be happy of yourself. Sure, there's stuff and we've all got it. But be happy of yourself. Because you're His child. All right? Taking, you guys, it's going to be just a minute, but you can stay if you want. You good? You good? All right. Taking off your mask reveals the real you. The real you. And so I just want to, before we close, I want to remind you of who you are. God says that you're fearfully and wonderfully made. You say that out loud yourself. Say, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Made by the Father. And whether you were made, I want you to listen to me, whether you were made by a mom and dad who loved each other, whether you were made by a rape that happened, you hear? Whether you were a boy and a girl just messing around, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And God doesn't make mistakes. God says you're a new creation. And therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come. Mag 44, who Christian artist in the nation. You guys know him, right? Let me read you part of one of his songs. Actually, he was here tonight and I should have told him I was going to do this. He's in one of his songs. He says, this is just a portion. He says, come and see how God loves you, even if the world hates you. How about this? Even if your family's not happy with you, God loves you. You are complete. You are so beautiful. I wish I could rap it like he does. You are so beautiful, far from the usual. You are complete. You're complete. It's important. It is so important. It is so important to have honest and open relationships with someone. Where's Belinda? Where I saw you. When did we do that small group? A couple months ago? Talitha? Was it in May? Yeah, in May I was doing a small group. We're going through Dr. Henry Cloud. He's got a book called Changes That Heal. And I've got a second one going with some staff. And when we were in this small group sitting together, for me, the beautiful thing was just the different women in that room. They all looked at each other and said, I didn't know other people had issues. So I kind of want to go, duh, you know. I didn't know other people had issues. And sure, God worked through some of our stuff in that small group. But to me, the outcome of it was just some beautiful, amazing relationships of people who love and care about each other. And then they know that they can go say anything to them. And it's not going to be spread to anybody else. And those other people aren't going to look at them as a less than now. You can tell them about your husband and they're not going to think less of your husband. You need those relationships in your life. They're survival. They bring life. They bring freedom. They bring health. And we've got to have it. And sitting with them and sitting with some other people, it's like, well, where do I find that? Well, let me tell you what you do. You call up someone. You ask them to go have a cup of coffee with you. And you just start talking. And you just try something really small with them. And they go, oh, no, 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 don't tell me stuff like that. You know what? Pay the bill, go home, and don't have another coffee with them. But then there's going to be another person you sit down with and you share a little bit. And they don't condemn you. I can't believe you did that. You mean you spoke to him that way? You're a woman after all. Where's that coming from? Okay. They don't condemn you. They look at you. I am so sorry. I've been there. They empathize with you. They show you love. They show you care. And so it's like one layer of an onion. And then you go have another coffee and you get a little bit deeper. You'll know if it's the right person. You'll know. Am I right? You'll know. In Matthew 26, and this is where I think you can see this in the Bible. Jesus was with his disciples in Gethsemane. And he was in pain. Because he knew he was about to go to the cross. And Jesus, at that moment, he needed God, right? He's hurting. He's at the depths. He's about to be nailed to a cross. And who did Jesus call? He called James, John, and Peter. And he called them to him. He said to these three men, he said, sit with me, for my soul is greatly distressed. Sit with me. Just sit with me. Just be with me. Because my soul is greatly distressed. We need people in our lives. You guys, in life, there's a vertical relationship that we have with God. And we omit the horizontal relationship that we need with others. We omit it. Africa is very much known as being relational people. The West is known as being very task-oriented. But my time in Africa, I have found the relationships to be very shallow. You don't know each other. You don't get deep with each other. You don't share from the depths of your soul with each other. And one of the reasons that you've been hurting is because you haven't been able to get that out and receive the healing that comes from one another. We've got to have that in our lives. The greatest gift that you can give yourself is to be yourself. It's the greatest gift you can give. And so in taking off the mask, you become the masterpiece that God created you to be. And you're beautiful. You're beautiful. You're beautiful. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much. And Father, sometimes we just need to be still and know that you're God. To quiet ourselves and be with you. And Father, other times we need to go grab some crazy friends and laugh and cry and just talk to each other from our souls. Because really that's what be still means. In Hebrew, be still means to let go. Let go. Let it all out. And so, Father, I just lift up every single woman in this room. And, Father, I just pray that they can let go of everything that's within them that they feel makes them unlovable. And that, Father, that they would come to know how much you love them just the way they are. How much you love them even with the stuff that's happened in their past, even with stuff that happened yesterday, you still love them. And that they would know that they would feel that they would experience that. And Father, I also pray that everyone in here would find at least one safe friend that they can pour their heart and soul into. And they can also give that back. Father, help them to find those women that they need in their lives. And Father, we know that tonight you've seen us and you still love us. You've seen us and you still love us. And so, Father, we just praise you. We just praise you, Lord. And we thank you that you first loved us. And we will no longer see ourselves as a slave anymore. No more bondage. No more hiding. But we will be free in you. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father.